Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders, where we learn about the bold path of building digital products that sell themselves. Let's listen to product leaders who can give us a glimpse into the innovative thinking process. Showcasing and celebrating these awesome folks, I'm your host, UX and product design veteran, Thomas Watkins. Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders. We've got a great guest for the show today, who I'm very excited to talk to, Meltem Ballin. She has been doing AI research long before it was the big thing to do. Her background is in cognitive and behavioral neuroscience. She dealt with mathematical modeling of neurology, worked on computer vision as well, worked as a scientist and professor for many years. She's been the co-founder and president of data and cloud platform companies. She's been a senior consultant of machine learning and natural language processing, founder of computer vision AI solution advisory team. She's also been an innovator fellow at multiple places, a principal advisor board member, and a venture partner. Today, she is CEO and co-founder of Concrete Engine, which is building AI infrastructure for a new generation of technology. Meltem, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for the invitation, Thomas. It is a great pleasure to be here. And I'm excited to share about Concrete Engine. We are still behind the scenes working a lot about our deep tech aspects of it, but we decided to take a different approach to how we look at the infrastructure, how we actually take something considered to be commodity, but in reality, it is a big moving part of the AI to turn into a product that everybody can use it. And the biggest part of it is the fact that we want everybody to reach AI, not as a tool taking their jobs, but providing and creating new jobs and giving them different us to start working with AI and understanding AI, liking or hating AI, but nobody else should be deciding for people to like or hate AI. So we are giving that tool to people to be into this AI world, not from the AI perspective, but the nanoscale data center perspective, just providing AI solutions.
Okay, so this is really interesting. And what I want to do is make sure that the audience understands the problem. And for the listeners out there, taking a couple of steps back, what is the problem that people are dealing with today? Now, on one hand, you're an innovator who's working on building the future. So then the problem is stuff that doesn't exist today. But what is the problem that folks are having to face today?
It is simple. Today's AI infrastructure, let's call AWS or Crusoe or CoreView, they are not built for the human. They are built for big institutions. They can actually afford to have cloud engineers. They can actually afford to have thousands of GPUs. But most of the companies, including big corps, Fortune 500, Fortune 1000, don't have that much of a budget to spend on their AI problem. And secondly, they don't have engineers. So in today's world, engineers are stuck debugging the orchestration problem. They cannot quite understand how to protect their sensitive data. And when you talk to business teams, the frustration becomes money. They cannot justify cloud AI costs. And then they are forced to shelf the AI for later dates. There is no simple, secure, cost-effective solution in the market yet. So that is what we are building.
Okay, so just to dive in there a little bit. So imagine that someone is either a founder. Does this problem apply equally to startups and scale-ups and large enterprises? It's all across the board.
Yes, that's what we are seeing. So we work with startups who are basically doing distributed AI, physical AI. Drone imaging is one of them. Weather sensors are the second one. Physical AI working in the construction sites, they really need nanoscale infrastructure where the computation can go with them. And at the same time, they want to do their operations like hyperscalers do, big data centers. They send the data, they put their model on, and then they do the computation. So we actually package all in one piece and provide to our customers.
Gotcha. So when you use the phrase physical AI, you're talking about the hardware that the AI is running on?
Yes, like drone imaging is one example. The second one would be the robots working in the production lines. They are doing a lot of work. They are learning every day. There are training algorithms running there. The data is collected.
Okay, so it's more the robots than the computational running. When you're saying physical AI, you're talking about the artificial intelligence as it relates to, let's say, like in an Amazon warehouse type of a thing, and the machine vision. It's reading things, it's recognizing things, it's got an arm that reaches out and grabs things. So that's what you mean by physical AI. And of course, there's just the normal computational brain AI that we're familiar with the ChatGPT and stuff like that.
Yeah, we are not talking about the natural language processing or large language models here. We are talking about nowadays it is called agentic AI. We are talking about that particular, let me take it back. When we talk about LLM, LLM is just one slice of the big AI cake. There is the computer vision aspects. There is the pharmaceuticals. Pharma works on big data, gene structure, RNA. That's another category. And going down the road, there is the clustering, classification kind of AI going on. So those existed before LLM, and everybody started to work on those AI first initiatives. LLM is making it categorize or put it in the different shelves easier instead of just running the traditional databases, but they are still the problem. That's what we are solving. Like, we work with the pharmaceutical companies where data is their data and the computation. They don't want anybody else to see it. And we come into place, we secure their computation and data. Nobody else shares it.
Gotcha. Is that the sweet spot for you guys? It seems like there's a couple of dimensions to the sweet spot for you. And is one of them on-prem that you're, so like a pharmaceutical company, and they say, hey, look, security is extremely important for us. We can't have our data mingling with other things. We can't have any chance of that. We want our own center for dealing with that. Is that one of the major use cases?
Yes, that's one of the major use cases. You're spot on. They want to own the hardware. They want to manage the hardware. We provide managed services where we are architect the hardware for them, but they know the physical location. They know what is in it, and they pay for the capital expenditure. We have traditional customers where we manage and own the hardware, so they pay us as they use.
Gotcha. And then, so one of the other major use cases, and I think it probably overlaps a lot, but it's where a company says, hey, we need to make our advancements in AI. we need to hop on this train. Maybe we've got warehouses where some kind of work is done and we need to optimize our, so we need to take that step, but we don't have the engineers to do it. We don't really know how, have the know-how, and we don't have infinite money to spend. Is that kind of another use case?
Like, yeah.
Okay.
So let's say they've been using Raspberry Pi. It's a great example because Raspberry Pi is everywhere. Everybody's using Raspberry Pi to POC, pilot their works. But we all know that Raspberry Pi is not scalable. So on site, we are taking the role of Raspberry Pi, but putting them on our hardware. And then secondly, the same infrastructure, we have it on our data centers so that they can run the same infrastructure without dealing with the cloud like AWS plus Raspberry Pi. We are like a wrapper. They don't have to separate those.
Okay, so that's really great. This is a breakthrough for me for understanding. So are you like the scalable version of Raspberry Pi, that where we would have used duct tape and baling wire and chewing gum to bring it together?
Yeah, so we're actually taking all those duct tapes and chewing gums and all different things and then making it scalable professional orchestration layer. And we actually own the hardware ourselves. So we just abstract all those complexity away from the customers. And then they can just do what they do best. Our customers are the best in the market developing AI algorithms. They are the best in understanding what data to collect. So we enable that at a scale.
Oh, that's so exciting. So in terms of the solution and the way you offer it, I imagine it's mostly consulting services. Where do you exist on the line? Where does Concrete Engine exist on that continuum of consulting services, which is humans providing solutions for problems on one end, and then the other extreme would be like a self-serve software that you hop online and then you get some solution. You're able to do it. Are you somewhere in the middle or very far toward the consulting side?
We are actually managed services. So we are not really consulting, but since we are early, we work with our customers because we are building this application by application, meaning we are building for the drone imaging. We are building for the pharmaceuticals. All those applications are very scalable and they are the same for one customer to other, the software layer. But initially we need to work with them closely because we are, as they develop, we are developing. So we are basically managed services. We are AWS meets Tesla. So basically, Tesla owns the software. If you own a Tesla car, every software update is run by Tesla. And you don't really need to worry about it, but you go buy your device from Tesla. When you look at AWS, you don't really buy your device. AWS owns your device and you don't even know where it is. It could be in Virginia. It can be in Chile. So we are just like that nuance. We have this federated software layer that we run on top of all different modification of the hardware piece. So yes, currently we work with our customers almost like consulting, white glove service, but we are managed services. We are much closer to the turnkey software solution.
What are people really asking for nowadays, and where do you see the trends going in the future?
So our current customers, mainly, we've been talking to two different customers. From the physical AI, we talked a lot of drone imaging companies. And the challenges with the drone imaging companies is that they are doing piecemeal solutions. They are doing Firestorm. They are doing agriculture, precision agriculture solutions, but they are doing farm by farm. And that is almost like turning to be a consulting solution, but in reality, they are not consultants. They are AI companies. And their goal is to scale their own business, to use the strength of the power of data, to use the power of their algorithms. So they want to have on-site solution that can actually give them that power step by step, and then offline, which is traditional hyperscaler AWS solution, that it will give them the scaled software.
I see. So scaling their AI needs and folks really needing to make sure that they can handle large use cases. So if I'm a business offering some kind of a service that requires lots of bandwidth or memory and maybe agentic processes, because AI is expensive. Lay people think it's cheap because they say, I can just log into ChatGPT and then, wow, look at all of this great value I can get for $20 a month. But as soon as you start building technology on it, it's very expensive because of the tokens and everything like that. And for you, in roadmap wise, what do your customers and your future customers have to be excited about for what Concrete Engine is going to be building?
Price is obviously one way of approaching this, because we are taking this hardware problem, the price, turning into a software solution. And there it is optimized solution. It optimizes the power usage. It optimizes the cost of the hardware. So instead of buying an NVIDIA chip and doing an operation serially, if our listeners are in this business, they know Slurm. So the Slurm is very manual. You have to look at every single frame of the screen, screenshot, understand whether your resources are enough to run search and algorithm. So we are taking a step back. We are using off-the-shelf, easy-to-approach, open-source GPUs, and then bundling them up tightly. That is the software, the deep tech we are doing. We are working on the driver level, and then providing them that very lean computation environment so that it is cheaper. Secondly, we are connecting this very tightly with the software and then providing them almost like a dashboard. So that is taking the complexity away. So an AI engineer doesn't have to rely on a cloud engineer. So it will cut the process. Even though it is the complexity, it is also becoming a build-time solution, because you're cutting the cost there. You're not waiting. It's becoming a business tool within the matter of days instead of months.
Great stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, we're speaking with Meltem Balin of Concrete Engine. What is the best way for people to get started with Concrete Engine?
So currently, connecting us, you can actually ask for the demo at concreteengine.com, or you can email me from info@concreteengine.com. Myself or some other team members are going to reply back.
Love it. Love it. This has been a very interesting conversation. Meltem, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Thomas. It was a great pleasure to talk to you today.
Okay, so that's the cut right there. I thought that went really well. What'd you think?
Yeah, if you liked it, yes.
I like it.
What you're doing is very complicated, so I tried to really simplify it. That is where when you were talking about the product and all my questions were coming. Right. I think we are finally nailing it. The market is becoming ready. But as you said, people don't understand. Like, this is a costly proposal.
Right. One of the things that when you brought up like the dashboard and people having a need to see it, one of the things that I do with my consultancy is we do dashboards and data visualization like the right way to where people get exactly what they need to make decisions and things like that. So I don't know if we've ever talked about what my company does. Just throw this up real quick. This is my company, Three Leaf. And we do like full scope UX for startups mostly and companies trying to do something innovative. So anytime a company wants to become the obvious go-to for their category, when it become a category leader and for folks to be able to really use their product seamlessly and their service seamlessly, that's what we jump in on. So yeah, I wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, this will be great for Concrete Engine down the road, but still we can actually talk because we do have a student trying to like do some sort of design, but we don't have really like real UX design. But yeah. The reason that I wanted to talk to you is the fact that we're startups, we don't have a lot of kind of income, we're proceed, but I am actually helping my professor from years ago building a product called OpenWrench. And one problem that we are having with the OpenWrench is the fact that we're not 100% sure what the vision of the OpenWrench is going to look like. But we're looking for some UI and UX help. And I would like to bring you on some of our conversations if you want, because it's a very visual product. It's like what they are building is that they want to build a product for the construction developers to manage like private equity firms, big landowners.
PE firms doing,
And then they want to have a very visual way of explaining things. Yeah. So I developed something, I can show you that. I think that will be faster.
Yeah, why don't we want to set up a follow-up? I could throw something on the calendar. Do you want to do next week? I know you want also to make some introductions. I don't know if you want to do
next week. Yeah. So you and I, so this is just like some, I know you need to go in a minute, but this is some kind of scenario.
Oh, this would be the perfect. This would be perfect for us.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
yeah. This
why
is like
I remember.
Perfect kind of. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll let you go right now. I'll send my calendar. Let's get together.
Would next week at this same time work for you? If we did, you're in Austin, right?
Yeah. Let me see. 22nd, right?
Yeah.
Yes, 11 is going to work.
11:30 or 11?
We can do 11.
Oh,
I am in Central,
same time,
right?
Same time would be 11. Yeah, and I'm Central time. I'm Houston. 11:30 would work a little bit better for you.
Yeah.
Would you be able to do the 11:30?
Yeah. Let's do 11:30. I have 12, but we can do it.
Oh, gotcha. You'll have a rough start. Yeah. Then in that one, if the stuff is making sense, then we could always schedule another one to
Next
keep the conversation.
Next week, I will just show you like what it is and how it looks like.
Yeah. And what you're thinking. Yeah. Excellent. Okay. So I threw that on your calendar. You should see that.
Awesome.
And awesome. It was great talking to you again. Yes. And I look forward to talking next week.
Awesome.
Enjoy the rest of your week.
Awesome. Bye.
See you. Bye-bye. Thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on Product-Led Growth Leaders. Take care.